You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to continue and I'm going to conclude this week with a final part of what I've been preaching on the past few weeks, the secrets to answered praise. And I want to encourage you to go listen to the first two so that you can just see what we've been sharing. And I assure you, as you apply those principles, your prayer life will go to a new level. You'll be praying with faith and a conviction that will allow mountains to be moved in your life. Amen. All of us want our prayers answered. Amen. Let me see your hand. Who of you don't want your prayers answered? Listen to the question. Don't just raise your hand. Okay. Who wants their prayers answered? Raise your hand. That's better. Amen. Can I ask you this? Does your attitude towards God reflect the life of a Christian? Because sometimes we have to ask the right questions. Does your attitude towards God reflect the life of a Christian? What do I mean by that? The conversations that you have, is it filled with faith? The conversations that you have, is it filled with things that magnify and glorify the name of Jesus? I want to talk to you about praying divine praise, not just praying praise, divine praise, prayers that are influenced by the Holy Spirit, prayers that have power. And we've looked at the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much, and you can go listen to that. But if we're going to pray divine praise, we have to ask ourselves the following question. Your life as a Christian, where does it come from? That life comes from Christ Jesus. That's why you must be born again. Because when you are born again, the Holy Spirit will regenerate your spirit. That's the first work of the Holy Spirit. To regenerate your own spirit and to link you up with God. So that when we pray, we're not praying from a distance, we're not praying from up here, but we are seated in heavenly places. Amen? Otherwise, you're always going to pray against the ceiling. Feels like your prayers don't even go past the ceilings. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? So, let's get going. Amen. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said the following. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the source of truth is light. So if you want things to change, darkness that says in your life, you need the light of God to enter into that so that that darkness can be expelled. That's why you have to be in a church where they preach the truth to you. Because when they preach the truth, there'll be light and darkness can be expelled. Amen. This is the key. John 1 verse 4, the Word of God teaches us that in God there's light, or God is light. And in that light there's life. God is that life, and in that life there's light. So when you start to declare truth, you declare light, and that light brings life. That's what Jesus came to do. He came into this world as the Word, but when He manifested, we could see His glory. Too often we want to pray praise, divine praise. But if we want to truly pray divine praise, you have to include Scripture in your praise. Not just pray what you want, but see what the Word of God is saying about it and declare the Word of God. The declaration that we made this morning before we started preaching, every one of those things that you declared was Word. So if you want effective praise, pray the Word of God. If I can share a secret with you, all Bible reading should involve praying, and all praying should involve Bible reading. I don't know how to say it without confusing people, but the language of prayer is the Bible. If you want effective prayers, here it is. Because the Word of God has got sanctification power, it's got healing power, it's got deliverance power. So as soon as you start praying the Word of God, you are praying light into your situation. You are praying life into your situation. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Not he is becoming it, he is it. Turn to the person next you say you're going to have to declare the Word of God. Turn to the person on the other side, say whether you like it or not. You're going to have to declare the Word of God. It's 1 Peter 1:21 says, holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit, and that's how they declared the Word of God, prophesied. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the book of Isaiah that says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. The Spirit of God moved on Isaiah, the Holy Spirit. Then he started speaking the holy word of God. It was recorded and it became the Word of God. That's why there's so much power in the Word of God. It's divine, it's God-breathed, it's full of light and life. So if you want your prayers to go to a new level, start praying Scripture. Find a Scripture for your situation and start declaring the Word of God. If you're a Christian, pray Scripture. Amen? Can I just say this? When God has become a part of us, everything changes about us. Christianity is not something you do. It's who you've become. If being a Christian is something you do, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. You cannot serve God from your mind. You have to serve him from your heart. His power is more effective today. Because the Holy Spirit is present everywhere. Working in every born-again believer, leading us and guiding us. So when we're going to pray, we have to consider carefully what are we going to say. You have to be aware that the Holy Spirit is here, that God is with you. Our communion with God depends on our union with Jesus Christ. Or let me rephrase it. Because of our union that we have with Jesus, we can have communion with the Father. And because we have communion with the Father and we can enter into the Holy of Holies, we can now start to partake of greater works. Are you ready for greater works? Okay, let's rephrase it. Not greater works, harder works. Are you ready to work hard? No, nobody wants to work hard these days. Amen. Even ministry, let me tell you, ministry is hard work. If you believe there's a calling upon your life, ministry is hard work. The Bible says, he who desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. If you want to be a bishop, you have to work hard. Cannot be a lazy bishop or lazy pastor. Can I have an amen? Amen. I hope you know this is not all that I do is preach on a Sunday. There's a lot of other things that we do during the week. Amen. Hard work. Sometimes you have to go see God's face for people. The Bible teaches us the greatest work that you can do is to pray. The greatest work. You want to do the greatest work. According to Scripture, the greatest work is to pray. There's no greater way to express your love for a brother than to pray for him. A matter of fact, Scripture requires of us to even pray for our enemies. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and his divine nature has not become part of your nature, you won't be able to pray for your enemies. Because you need the wisdom of God to see, not to curse your enemies that they would die, because God is busy preparing a table in the presence of your enemies. But if you want to pray for them that they should die, in whose presence will the table be prepared for? So in John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Can you see that the greater works is to pray? What are we teaching you here? What is our pattern that God has given us? Reach up. Pray. Start with the greater work. Touch the face of God before you touch people. Reach up, touch the heart of God. Reach in, let God touch your heart, and then reach out, touch the heart of a community. But don't try and touch the heart of a community if you've not touched the face of God. Amen? Turn to the person next to you, say, "There's power in your words." So Jesus has made a way for us that our prayers can be answered. By Jesus' stripes we are healed. We celebrated the cross a few weeks ago, amen? And I've been talking about the sacrifice, how important that is, what God is doing in our lives. Turn to the person next to you, say, "Buckle up." Turn to the person on the other side, say, "Buckle up." So if you want to pray divine prayers, effective prayers, if you want to forgive somebody that's hurt you, if you want to serve, you have to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. You need His divine nature to be able to forgive. If you try and do it in your own strength, you're going to fail. But God is here to help us. Amen? Are you ready for greater works? Let me see, who have you prayed for your enemies this week? Prayed some blessings over them. Well done. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. So when we pray, let me just say this. When we pray, it is not how long you pray. Sometimes people can pray very long prayers. Amen. And we think because we pray long prayers, our prayer should be answered. We start putting our faith in the long prayers that we pray. But your faith should not be in the long prayers that you are praying. Your faith should be in Jesus Christ, who is the answer, the solution to all fundamental problems. That's the secret. So never put your faith in your faith. Never put your faith in the long prayers that you pray. A matter of fact, it is not how long the prayers that you're praying, but how much faith is in the prayer that you pray. Okay, look at the prayers that Jesus prayed. They were all very short. But when he prayed, oh my God, things started to happen, amen? Things started to change. So is there faith in the prayers that you are praying? James teaches us, James 1 verse 5, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." So it's not how much we pray, but how much faith is in the prayer that you are praying. So you have to know that. So when... Ntatimofa King, just come here quickly. So when we pray to God, here I come, I want to pray to God. I need to use faith. So number one, I want to say that faith is not a panic button. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Faith is not a panic button." Turn to the person on the other side, say, "Faith is not a panic button." And prayer is not an intercom system. What do I mean by that? If he represents God and I'm coming to him, this is the prayer that I'm bringing. This is not an intercom system. When I've been made righteous by God, his eyes are upon me the whole time. And his ears are attentive to me the whole time. Amen? So what the mistake that we make is when I come to God to pray, "God, I want to pray to you," put the intercom on. I'm praying now. God, can you bless my business? Help me today. Or you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And you pray, lead me not into temptation, provide for me. Now when I'm finished praying, I think most of us, we switch off the intercom. And now we go talk to our friends. But guess what? You've seen the movies when they leave the intercom on. Have you seen that? So I want to tell you, prayer is not an intercom system. When you've prayed to God, now that you've finished praying, the intercom is still on. God is still hearing you. And give the Lord a hand. Amen. So God is not just listening when you are praying. Sometimes we treat God like that. Okay, I've come to pray. Just listen now what I'm going to say. God, help me. Bless me when I go into this boardroom to have this meeting. Now we say, okay, I'm switching off the... God, what I'm now going to say in this boardroom, you cannot hear what I'm going to say. Just wait. And then we go into the boardroom. Am I talking to the right people here today? So prayer is not an intercom system that you switch on and off. A matter of fact, sometimes the meeting after the meeting, the meeting after the prayer meeting is more important because God is still listening what you are saying. Some of you are clapping like you're not very excited about God. Here's you after the prayer meeting. Thank you, Ntati Mofokeng. Love you. He's been a huge support. He prays for me every day, I know. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. God doesn't just listen to us on Sundays or when we are serving, but He's listening to us all the time. Amen. Turn to the person next to you, say, the meeting after the meeting. So this is one of the big secrets. Many times people will come into a church service and they pray prayers full of faith. God bless our church, bless our families, bless this one, help this one, help me to get a job, thank you for the contract. And then when you leave here in the car, I wonder if God's going to do it. And you think God doesn't hear that. Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. He says, it's not just your behavior, your attitude, your confession when you are praying to God. He says, but even afterwards, what you are saying and your attitude is just as important. Coming to church, greet everybody, bless you, so good to see you. Climb in the car. Cannot believe that idiot was in church today. What is he doing there? Let me tell you something. Praying to God and speaking is the same. Because the force behind it is the same. Divine faith. Because when you said that about that person, you believed it. Many of you have not entered into your promised land because the meeting after the meeting. God told Israel, there's the promised land, it's yours. He says, it's yours to possess. But when the bad report came, what did they do? The Bible says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. How many times do we do that? God says, I want to take you from here to there. But you're looking back the whole time. What you have to sacrifice and what you have to give up. When Lot's wife looked back at what she had to give up, she turned into a salt pillar. God was getting her out of sin, out of bondage. I have to give up my house and my friends and complain, complain, complain. And those leaders came and they planted seeds of doubt and unbelief that everybody started saying, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? They were asking questions, never giving an answer, ready to appoint a leader to go back to a place of bondage. You know what God said in Numbers 14:26? Go and underline this. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Did they speak to God directly? No, they were complaining to the leadership and God heard it. It says, tell them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Turn to the person next to you, say, be very careful what you say. Can I tell you something? What we can see from this, your confession about your situation is your attitude towards God. Your confession is your attitude towards God. It is very dangerous to confess what you feel. It is very dangerous to confess what you see. You should confess what you believe, what God has given you, the promise that God has given you. And a whole generation couldn't enter in. Only Joshua and Caleb, because they said, we be well able, let's go in now. They were ready to act there and then. And they were the only two that entered into the promised land with Joshua. So can I tell you something? What did the Lord tell Joshua? Am I helping some of you here today? The meeting after the meeting. Turn to the person next to you and say, the meeting after the meeting. We've all been part of that, amen? The meeting after the meeting. The meeting after the church meeting today. That pastor. A lot of things people had to say. God made it very clear to Joshua. He said, Joshua, let me help you quickly. He says, you want to go into the promised land? Let me share the secret with you. Do not let this word depart from your mouth. As you go in where I'm taking you, there's giants, there's high walls, there's nasty animals in there. You cannot let this word depart from your mouth. You're going to have to meditate upon it day and night. You're going to have to do it, observe it, and do it. He says, and when you do that, I'm going to make your way successful. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. So divine faith, when it's expressed in prayer, it is a force and has God behind it for its accomplishment. Then your confession will give you possession. But don't afterwards say the opposite. Amen? Confess it and believe it and hold on to your confession. Prayer meetings need to be filled with faith, but the meeting after the meeting must still be full of faith. Amen? Believe it. Can I just throw this in for free? I've been invited to prayer meetings and I've attended some of them. We don't have them by the grace of God here, but I've been to some prayer meetings. That's not prayer meetings. They gossip. They organize gossip meetings under the banner of prayer. Have you been to some of them? Have you experienced that? Let me give you an example. Oh, Lord, we just want to pray for Johnny. Oh, Johnny and the bottle, Lord. Johnny and that bottle. He is now from 1 to 2 bottles a day, Lord. Have mercy on his soul, God. Oh, Johnny, Lord. What is that helping Johnny? Lord, we want to pray for Susie. Ooh, the men, oh, Lord. The men, oh, Lord, the lust of the eye. Oh, Susie, she likes to look, oh, Lord, but she's not just looking anymore, God. I saw 3 men walking into her house, oh Lord. Oh Lord, we just want to pray for her, have mercy. What is that helping her? You're gossiping. Get heaven's opinion about the person. Amen. And keep them bound to the will of God. Come on, God's light in that situation. As God has got good thoughts for you, and you know the plans He's got for you, find out what's the plans for Johnny. God, I know you never intended this. We declare the light of God into his life in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever is keeping him bound, we disconnect him from that. Bring the right people into his life, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon him. Touch his heart, change his heart, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Pray for Susie. God, thank you. You've planned good things for her in Jesus' mighty name. We disconnect her from whatever the enemy has used to link himself to her, Father. We keep her bound to your will, your plans, assigned angels concerning her. Fight for her. Keep evil away. Bring good things to her, O Lord. Just go pray the Our Father for her. Do not lead her into temptation, Lord, as you do not lead me into temptation. Because when you judge people in that way, be careful. You're inexcusable for whosoever, whatsoever you judge. You condemn yourself because you practice the same thing. So, prayer meetings are not gossip meetings. Amen. Hallelujah. We are linked up with God. Joshua understood. Joshua understood. That's why even when they went into the promised land, God said, don't let them say anything. For 7 days, let them just walk and keep quiet. Because somebody somewhere will say, are you sure those walls are not too high? Are you sure they're not too thick? Our confession should always have our hearts full agreement. And if it's not filled with faith, don't say anything. Amen. Caleb said, we be well able. One person filled with faith can change the atmosphere in a whole room. When they say, we be well able. We can do it now because God is with us. And it was two men, Joshua and Caleb, that entered into that promised land. Amen. Filled with faith. Caleb said, give me my mountain when he was 85 years old. Turn to the person next to you, say, be careful what you confess. Because your confession will give you possession. It's the meeting after the meeting that reveals if you've got faith in your heart. I'm going to close with this. Just put that scripture, John 5, that I started with, I think it's 31, that talks about God the Father is working. There's a work. Amen? He's busy working. I have to be busy with my divine work. Jesus said, I am busy with my divine work. Peter, in 2 Peter 1, he says, God's divine nature has become part of my nature. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us an exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Family, listen to me. The key is not to suppress the flesh. The key is to be led by the Holy Spirit. The key is to rely and lean into that divine nature of Jesus. When you lean into that, everything will start to change. Everything will start to change. So I want to close with this. If you want to pray effective prayers, don't rely on your own ability. Don't even rely on the long prayers that you pray, because if you put your faith in the long prayers that you pray, you're bound to be disappointed. Put your faith in the complete work of what Jesus Christ has done. Rely on his divine nature, that when you are praying, the Bible says, my Father, Jesus said, my Father has been working the whole time. As soon as you call upon Jesus for an answer, I assure you, God the Father has already started working, already given instruction to angels. With that divine faith in your heart, you can have an assurance that someone is busy working out the answer to your situation. But sometimes what happens, we pray and we say, God, bring a solution. And directly after our prayer, we say, I don't think there's going to be any solution here. How's it? And we neutralize here? Are we walking now in faith or are we walking in doubt? Because divine prayers, divine faith, when it's expressed in prayer, is a force and has God behind it for its accomplishment. Then when you just say, out, a demon must go. When there's darkness and you say, light, light will start to expel all shades of darkness. Amen? Sometimes when you just greet somebody and you see they are down, one word of encouragement, I know God has planned good things for you, can just make them lift their whole countenance. But if you yourself are discouraged, I wonder if God's going to fix anything for me. Good to meet you. I hope your things work out. There's no hope and faith in that, amen? Be an agent full of hope. Even Jesus, when he walked on this earth, never walked in his own strength. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Acts 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. All the good that he did, all the prayers that he prayed, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the secret. Make sure whatever you're busy with, you're not doing it in your own strength. The origin is not man, but is God. Amen? His divine nature working in you and with you. That's why you have to pray in the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you've received power. Sometimes you can just pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1:20 that says, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Turn to the person next to you. Say, you still have some divine prayers to pray. Turn to the person on the other side. Say, you still have to do some greater works. Can I close with this? If you believe that, expect God to start to use you as an instrument of favor. Expect God to start to use you as an instrument of hope. Not just walking in there and say, I want to pray now. But knowing that when I walk into a meeting, when I walk into work, when I go and visit family, God is hearing my every word. And I can declare light and life wherever I go because God is with me. The deliverance that came for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't a prayer. It was a conversation. King, let it be known. We put our trust in God. Whether our God delivers us or not, he's our deliverer. That was the conversation. There was no prayer. But that statement they made had their hearts full agreement. And God acted upon it. He says, I've heard what you've said. That king, you see the fourth man there? That's who they were talking about. I'm just going to close with this. Jesus said in John 17, he said, Father, the glory that you have given me, I've given them. Jesus has given his glory, his divine nature to you and to me. What are we doing with it? He says, God has given it to us so that the world may believe. Not for yourself to look great, and for the world to believe. When they see, that's what Malachi said, then again you will be able to discern between the righteous and the unrighteous. You'll be able to see who are those that are holding on to God, relying on his divine nature. God has empowered us through Jesus Christ. If you believe that you are born again, his divine nature has become yours. Go pray some divine prayers. Go do some greater works and go pray some unusual big prayers. Ephesians 3:20 encourages us, ask for bigger, because God is able to do far more abundantly above whatever you could think, whatever you could dream, whatever you could imagine. The greater works is up to you, whether you will start to act faith and start to pray those greater prayers. Amen. Just start to bless our nation, bless our president, bless the parliament. Amen. Pray big prayers. Amen. Pray for Christian leaders. Bless them. Bless your family. And start to pray prayers that bring light and life into a situation. Anybody can criticize, but it takes somebody with the divine nature of God to show a more excellent way. Let us become those that show the more excellent way wherever we go. The words that we speak, that it brings light and life and changes the atmosphere. Where there's no hope, bring hope. When there's no faith, bring faith. If there's hatred and disunity and offense, let the love of God manifest. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Go pray those divine prayers and do the greater works. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.